Rawr, I'm John.
This is awesome, spooky month.
The Oldheim. Welcome back.
Thanks. Where's everything so bare? Bears? What? That was probably a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, no bears here in the prefatorium. Just show matters and comments.
Mm.
One show matter being that we had previously promised that next episode you would hear would be discussing.
Would be something. I mean,
that's true. It was somewhat non-committal, right. I suppose.
So maybe actually this is not a show matter. Maybe we're actually going to talk about today exactly, and maybe you, the creeper, was just you assumed.
You inferred something from our suggestion
I don't know why.
You shouldn't have inferred. Yeah, but whatever the case, you'll find out what we're talking about just soon enough. Just hold on, okay?
Hold your horses.
In the meantime, we got to do something else here in the prefatorium, which is
sing.
Sing comments.
Sing comments. Take it away, Drew.
That was terrible, Drew.
Oof.
We've got two comments. We have one comment on our episode on monsters.
Mm.
Oh, I guess we should say it's still awesome spooky month.
There they are.
And one of our previous installments this year was on monsters. Here's what Mike Westfall said.
Mike Westfall.
Yeah.
One.
Wait, did he do that song?
Yeah, that's exactly what came out of his mouth.
Oh, cool.
Number one, the horned monster pictured.
He likes to number his.
He does. I like that. Well, yeah, that was. We actually discussed that, I think, because. You were upset about single persons putting in multiple comments.
Yeah. No, I'm
throwing
that
off.
That was
our,
not
our average.
A slight. I just it was an observation.
Oh, all right. Well, now he might go back to making individual comments. It's just going to be like a wave back and forth. So Mike says, number one, the horned monster pictured with Henry is named Harvey.
Harvey,
the one with the green nose.
Wait, Henry.
Harry. Sorry.
Right.
The monster pictured with Harry is named Harvey. The one with the green nose is Maurice, or in one sketch, Kermit the Gorf.
Yes, I remember Kermit the Gorf.
I don't recall Kermit the Gorf. I'll see if we can find that, and we'll drop it in the show notes.
Here's another little from Muppets, the Jim Henson Hour, which I've previously mentioned.
This was the long lost
special Jim Henson show.
Hour.
There was one where there was they had in the Jim Henson Hour was like this futuristic, like the background was thousands of screens that were constantly playing different TV shows and whatnot. So it was like the inner workings of a futuristic TV studio. And on one episode towards the very end, they somehow tap into an alternate dimension and they meet Timrik the Gorf, which is Kermit the Frog backwards.
Oh, okay,
He talks to Oznog, and and it's a whole big thing. They go back and forth about how they both in this dimension and another dimension is trying to find a good closing number for a show. It's just hard work, and it's brilliant.
Well, we'll see if we can find that for the show notes too.
Yeah, Timrik the Gork, and we're the Tapuns. Really great. Yeah, find it for the show notes.
Okay. Number two from Mike's comment. For their recent relaunch, I forgot that they had relaunched, first of all.
Who?
Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
For the relaunch, Fruity Yummy Mummy was orange flavored with vanilla marshmallows. That sounds great.
Yeah, like a dreamsicle.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dream.
Did Mike have it? Did you have it, Mike? I'm curious.
Did you put that in your mouth?
If you tasted it. And Fruit Brute was cherry flavored. He says, I think it used to have lime flavored marshmallows.
Lime?
Yeah. Cherry flavored cereal with lime flavored
okay.
marshmallows. That sounds rad to me, too.
I can dig it. Not as good as Dreamsicle, but.
No. One final comment from Mike, number three. He says, shout out to my pet monster.
Yeah.
And his conveniently long nose that doubled as a handle to drag him around the house.
Oh. Nice.
I always, whenever I would go over to my friend's house, the friend who had my pet monster, I don't recall dragging him. I remember like giving it a full embrace. Nice. Like I wanted to appreciate every moment I had with my pet monster.
I just played around with the chain handcuffs.
Yeah. Well, that awesome. Became like a whole separate implement, right? Like that was removed from like my pet monster canon, and you could use those chains for just about anything.
Yeah.
You could be, yeah.
You were strong with those on.
Yeah.
Watch this. I did it.
Every parent between like 1987 and 1989 had to suffer through.
Right. Watch what I can do.
Yeah.
Here's my strong
waves of chain breaking performances. all right. We had a comment from somebody we haven't heard from in a while.
Oh.
You'll be excited about this. He responded to our Ernest Goes to Camp episode.
Sweet.
And he goes by the name Azrael, the god of hyper-death.
Wow.
You may recall that Drew, who called into question his claim to hyper-death goddery.
Yes, I do.
And Azrael says this, shots fired. I was the first god of hyper-death. No one else is. I was the first and I will be the only. Also, I love Ernest. He is really funny. Thank you, Azrael.
Nice.
That was very good. Thank you, Mike, for your comment as well. And
where are you? Dear Kelly. Good night, Kelly.
Good night, Kelly.
Love, the Archive. I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah. Do you hear anything? Like a voice from beyond?
Is he speaking to me?
In tongues?
In my special place.
Ooh. Have you ever spoken with the spirits?
I danced with the devil in the pale moonlight.
Were you talking at the time?
Psychically.
I'll count that. I struggle with the appropriate phrase with which to couch this evening's discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've settled on either spiritual communication or paranormal communication.
I would think paranormal communication.
Yeah, that seems to be the best way to go.
I think it's a broader thing to... I could run by aliens if you wanted to.
It could encompass that, yeah. I thought about calling it like divination,
ooh,
which is like seeking knowledge from the supernatural, but that doesn't sound nearly as cool.
No.
So we're opting for...
It's really spooky communication.
Spooky communication. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Awesome spooky communication.
Awesome spooky communication. Period.
Yeah. But we're talking about rituals or devices that are used to allegedly reach out and
touch someone.
Speak with or communicate with the ethereal planes around us that may or may not actually be able to communicate with us.
Well said.
Thank you. It's a topic that I find endlessly fascinating and very exciting, and yet I don't really put a whole lot of stock in. And that may be partially from personal experience, but in general,
like them being mean to you when you talk to them, or
they're always jerks, right. And so I give them no credit whatsoever.
I just lack a response.
Ghosts are a bunch of bullies. I've never had a very convincing experience unless I was of a mind to indulge.
Okay, I think I follow.
Yeah, but that's I think what appeals to me about this. I am inclined to indulge. A lot of people will say that they don't believe in aliens or they don't believe in Bigfoot, but they want to.
I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks.
And that's kind of like where I'm at with regards to these kinds of things. I am happy to suspend my disbelief.
Okay.
At the premise of
the possibility
with, yeah,
of.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your familiarity with this topic?
Man, I guess not. Well, I suppose it depends on where you draw the line of communication. Mm-hmm. I've never personally used a Ouija board.
Interesting.
I've never really attended a seance. I've witnessed what I would consider supernatural occurrences, mm-hmm. On more than one occasion.
But were you directly asking for that right. experience?
So, the one time I can think of, yes, I was on a ghost walk or whatever the heck it was called down in New Orleans, which is often considered a very haunted city.
Yeah, one of the most haunted.
Yeah, and I experienced, so then, going into it with the intention of maybe we'll experience something, maybe, you know, not necessarily full communication, but mm-hmm. just an experience of we are going here to try to see this or experience this. Will this happen? Maybe.
Maybe.
And
it did.
Yes.
Yes. What happened? Detail.
Sure. So, you know, we'd go to different locales around the city where there's been high activity, I will say, mm-hmm. paranormal activity. And she'd be like, the guide would be like, here's where, you know, all these people died. And sometimes if you listen closer, you can hear something, or sometimes you'll see something happen over here. And so we'd listen and we'd look and there'd be nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe not tonight. Fair enough. Move along. Then we come into a house and they say up in that top right corner is where these kids were murdered. You know, this was supposed to be an orphanage and these kids were murdered. They were being abused and whatnot. And she had this temperature gauge thing with her.
Oh, yeah, where you shoot it across the room and it tells you what the temperature is.
The temperature of the room is, yeah. So, you know, so we're all like shooting this thing up towards this room and nothing. And she's like, so not to be, you know, sometimes they only respond when kids do it. And Aiden happened to be with us. So she's like, would you mind doing it? He's like, sure. So he did it, and he's pointing this thing, and temperature's just going. It was like, oh, that's really weird. It may drop like 20 degrees.
Wow.
As he's holding this thing and it's measuring the temperature, and she's like, yeah, they tend to respond to kids more than they do to adults, and it was like, how do you explain that?
Right.
I don't know how to explain that.
some would say you could explain that by like a air conditioning vent.
Sure.
Turning on.
Sure. And it's like all rigged, but.
Yeah. You felt.
Here's the deal. I'm insanely skeptical, especially because I have experienced things mm-hmm. that actually heightens my skepticism to a nth degree mm-hmm. because I'm like, I've seen some shit. Mm-hmm. I personally believe. So. This is better, like, really impress me because I've already seen something that I consider
a very high threshold for.
I'm not like, I've seen it, so I believe it all. Like, I've seen it, so I barely believe any of it. I think most of it's BS. Mm-hmm. So when I do see something, I think through it, like, very with a fine-tooth comb, so to speak. And I was like, okay, I can't explain this. Hmm. That made no scientific or logical sense. Mm-hmm. And then as we went on, there's other places where she's like, you know, this was in, probably March or April. So pretty warm down in the dirty South, as it were. But if you felt around on the ground, this one part, like where this guy was murdered, stones are warm. You hit his spot. The stones were noticeably cooler.
Interesting.
And again, no real reason for that. Why would it be cooler? And it's not like, and under here is, you know, there's a water. It's like, there's no scientific thing, unless somebody bothered to like rip up part of this street or cobblestones, whatever, and install some sort of
put a
cooler unit. And then it just, so again, the logic of it or the hassle, maybe I should say, of someone to go through just to have random tourists
to convince a bunch of people who are already on the tour.
Right.
Yeah.
So You know,
yeah, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. So,
would you, if given the opportunity,
would you, could you?
Would you? You said you'd never used a Ouija board.
Sure. Well, real quick, before we jump into that, what about yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've definitely had moments where I've felt something, you know, and I think I've definitely been a little bit more pursuant of it.
Okay.
So I have used a Ouija board. I didn't for a long time. I think I was an adult the first time I used one.
Sure.
But it wasn't because of, I wasn't avoiding it. It just never, like, the opportunity never really arose, you know, and I never really sought it out.
Well, dude, when we were kids, it was definitely like, don't use those things.
They were frowned upon. Yeah. And the rationale behind that is fascinating to me. Maybe this would be a good time to talk about
the history.
Ouija was a basically like a brand name for what at the time, this is mid-1800s,
okay,
was called a spirit board or a communication board.
I think like Parker Brothers makes it now, don't they? Or like,
they do.
Like Milton Bradley's. Like
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
They, innocuous sort of like, yeah, whatever.
The funny thing is like this, I guess the board itself, any kind of board that has an alphabet on it,
mm-hmm,
counts
like
as
a
spirit. Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean,
you could just drag that plank. That thing
little
over
pointer thing.
Yeah. Across the keyboard.
QWERTY.
Why hasn't anybody thought of that?
What are you trying to tell me?
But so, like, there was a rise in spiritualism in the mid-19th century, and spirit boards were a really popular implement for allegedly speaking with the deceased.
It was like a party thing, right?
Well, it became a party thing, yeah.
Okay.
I was curious
if it was party then kind of serious or serious then party.
It was serious at the outset.
Okay.
And like there are elements of these sort of spirit boards that go back to like or spirit tools, communication tools that go back to like ancient Chinese practices where people would like be moved by a force and they would, you know, write out things with a quill.
Yeah.
But the board itself started to take rise in the mid-1800s and there were a lot of them. And, the only reason that it eventually became known as a Ouija board is because, there was a guy in 1890, I believe, who filed a patent for, not the board, but the planchette, the moving piece that you use to select the letter. He filed a patent for that. And so that became kind of the brand name for, you know, the way that we think of Band-Aids as,
Kleenex Band-Aid.
Right.
I get
you. There are many facial tissues or adhesive bandages out there.
But they're all Band-Aids.
But we all call them Band-Aids. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the same is true with the Ouija board. There was a guy who worked for the guy who got the patent. His name was William Fuld, F-U-L-D.
Okay.
And he sort of took over the production of it. And he's the one who named it Ouija. And there's a lot of rumors about why it's called Ouija, but he's gone on record as saying that it was a combination of, I believe, the French and Arabic words for yes.
Oui. Gee.
Ouija. Yeah.
I love the way it's spelled.
That was a great spelling.
I remember as a kid making the connection, I think it was in a Stephen King short story. I think it was in The Langoliers, actually, if I remember correctly, because they're talking about, maybe it was a sun dog. I can't remember. But somebody's talking and he's like, it's mentioned in text, like blah, 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 Ouija board. But of course I was like, Ouija board. I don't know what that is.
Ouija.
Yeah. And then later on, the character's like, and he didn't know what a Ouija board was. And I was like,
and then you connect the two.
I get it. I've heard of Ouija board. I guess that's how you spell it. That's kind of cool. That's different. But I didn't know about the French. What was the other?
I think it's French and Arabic.
Arabic. That's neat. I had no idea.
About that.
Again, now that you say it out loud, it's like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, obviously. So it's actually French and German, the combination of the French and German words for yes.
Though,
what were we saying?
G is not how you say yes in German, but whatever.
Huh, yeah, interesting. It's also, the phrase is also allegedly an ancient Egyptian word that means good luck.
You said allegedly?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess this is all, there are various stories. Yeah, now the guy who branded it, Ouija, William Fuld, he popularized the idea that it was a combination of French and German words for yes.
So I wonder if
could call that the official.
Sure, but if he was smart, he actually would have planted all these seeds of like, oh no, it means this. Oh no, it means this, because that kind of brings a little more mystery to like, where did this come from anyway?
Yeah, well, and like the name itself, like right. The fact that it's kind of a made up word, mm-hmm. You know, like that adds an aura of mystique.
I heard it was Egyptian. I heard it was Arabic. I heard it was German. Like, where's this from?
Yeah. What origin is it? And it turns out it's actually like English.
Right.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah. Or no, I guess it's American. The guy was in the U.S. He got a patent for it. So anyway, that guy, William Fuld, he really kind of shepherded the Ouija board into the 20s and 30s, which is when it became kind of a popular like party activity.
Like the seance and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. So the spiritualism, it kind of took root as a religion in the mid 1800s, but by the early 1900s, it was like parlor games and party activity.
Yeah.
Seances and
stuff that rich people did.
Yeah, kind of. It was like a way to
sideshow attraction, maybe.
Kick back and let loose. You get yourselves a few drinks and sit around the table and pretend to talk to spirits. Yeah. Which I mean is really kind of the legacy of the Ouija board. You know, it there are people who ascribe significant real power to that,
mm-hmm.
But yet it remains probably mostly used by teenagers or, you know, people who are gathered in a group to have a good time and they want to get a little frisky with the spirit world.
I mean, so I was about to say, you know, adults aren't using this, but with the caveat that I guess, I mean, you and I aren't any like cults or anything like that, as far as I know, but
yeah.
So maybe this actually is being utilized by serious people who are trying to contact demons or ghosts or whatever, and we're just totally oblivious to that.
Absolutely. I mean, I have, like, with some modest percentage of seriousness, attempted to use a Ouija board legitimately.
Okay, when was this?
This is probably about 5 years ago.
5 minutes ago. All right, go ahead. What was the situation?
So the situation was I was helping a friend move from her apartment, and it was a strange coincidence because it was a group of friends that had gathered to help her move, and one of the other friends had lived in this place previously, and we didn't discover that until that night. Like, we walked in there, and he said, "Oh my God, this used to be my apartment."
Oh, weird. I get you.
Yeah. And it was an old building. It had been around for 100 years and had a creepy basement. So at a certain point in the evening, everybody started drinking and we decided, let's do a Ouija board. Let's break out the Ouija board and let's, you know, see if we're leaving anything behind here when we move. And we ended up pulling together through whatever means an entity. And I believe that her name was Danny, which was short for Danielle.
Okay.
And she was Irish. She had moved over to marry someone in the United States in Missouri. Somebody, I think actually another Irish immigrant who had come over and settled in St. Louis, in the early 1900s. And, she later then joined him, moved over to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he was abusive and he either killed her and her son, or she tried to take her son away, their son,
right,
away, and ended up dying in the process.
Hmm.
But it was interesting because there was enough suggested in the course of this that anyone without a really solid knowledge of timelines could believe. You know, like, I don't know enough about, like, immigration history in St. Louis to say right. whether or not, like, oh, yeah, there were absolutely no Irish people moving into the city in 1900 or right. whatever.
So the story yeah. was feasible just because you couldn't fact check it.
Right. We didn't have the capability at the time to be like, oh, absolutely, that's bonkers. That can't be real. You know, right. it was legitimate enough. We pieced together enough of a story that if you suspend disbelief, makes sense.
Right.
It wasn't absolutely absurd. You know, it worked. And it was a little bit creepy. It wasn't outright, you know.
How many of you
terrifying.
Were there?
Four.
Four, okay.
Yeah. But it was enough to say that it was a worthwhile experience, you know, and I would do it again. But I don't know that
I
believe.
Did you bring one
here? Absolutely. No, I didn't.
New, the Archive Ouija board. Creepers, get one today.
But I would definitely use it again. I've used it a couple of times.
Just a board with a big
then.
H on it. What's your name?
Yeah, all the answers are H.
Are you with us?
But I've since used a Ouija board and not had the same experience. It's never matched up to that.
All right.
You know, unfortunately. But I know a lot of people who have used it and been like very freaked out. And it's funny that like the last time that I would say it was like considered a legitimate thing broadly was probably before it was sold to Parker Brothers. Uh-huh. Right. And I think the estate of Fold sold it to Parker Brothers, or maybe he did, in the '60s. And since then it's been manufactured along with other Parker Brothers board games,
sure.
you know, and sold alongside. I mean, it's sold in toy stores and stuff.
Yep.
And yet there are many religious organizations or the figures who absolutely consider it a legitimate tool for communicating with
evil.
Spirits. And yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily considered an evil tool, but I guess the idea of the idea of directly contacting
unnatural.
Spirits, yeah, is
frowned upon.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, not, this is legit. You actually can't talk to ghosts, so don't do that. That's a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. The board itself
know,
is not bad.
Yeah. You never know what you're actually going to be contacting and getting in touch with, so just leave it alone.
Don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. And that, of course, was the foundation, or at least the suggestion in The Exorcist.
Right.
Which is probably the most famous, I think, use of a Ouija board in a movie that I can think of.
Most, yes. I know it had, you know, they used it in Paranormal Activity, also the very first one.
Did they?
They did.
I don't remember that.
Because at one point, when the camera's just sitting there, and it starts moving by itself, and then it bursts into flames.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, I know it's kind of been resurgent in movies lately. There's a series called Ouija.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of them. They look terrible. Either. But yeah. I'm happy that the Ouija board has stuck around and maintained at least a little bit of its cachet, you know, despite
sure.
still being just a board game,
yeah.
essentially.
Is it a board game? Would you call it that?
What would you call it? Yeah.
I guess by definition,
it's a
it
game
would be,
piece. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it, I guess board game would be
yeah.
the best way to describe it. Weird.
Maybe it's a game board.
There you go. So there's obviously the alphabet. And there's what? There's like yes, no, and there's numbers. Is there anything else on it?
Yeah, it's it depends on where you go and what.
I'm talking about the classic. You go, you walk into Target, and you pick yourself
you
up.
Pick
a,
up
a Ouija board,
Parker Brothers Ouija brand board. Ouija board.
Yeah,
yeah. So you've got the alphabet. You have the numerals.
Uh-huh.
You have the words yes and no, and I think you have hello and goodbye.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be great. That's easy to say. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh. All right. Well,
you just keep asking questions. It just keeps going no.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping.
I'm an obstinate spirit. Will you speak with us? No. Are you here? No.
Anything else? Goodbye.
But yeah, I think those are the main elements of it. And one of the things I love about Ouija boards is because they have been around for so long, or just spirit boards in general, they have gone through, even just the official Ouija board from Parker Brothers has gone through various iterations and designs. And the look of these things is so awesome. You know, especially if you go back, there are like Art Deco versions of it, or, you know, like ones that play up the Egyptian motifs, or, you know, like there's all different kinds of Ouija boards out there, much in the way that like tarot cards,
you know, I follow,
there are different designs for those. And they all look, really striking and cool to me. I've always, for the last couple of years, I've had a Ouija board as like a decorative piece in my home.
Okay.
And it's one of my favorite things.
So to answer the question you had before we went down this path, would I ever use one?
Yeah.
I would say yes, again, with my high skepticism in check. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know...
You would come at it with your fists up.
Yeah, because again, I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. Like, I've seen some weird crap that I can't explain.
Yeah.
That the only explanation is supernatural. So if I have my hands on a board with some other people, I would almost put some resistance on it just so it wouldn't, like, try to make it not move.
Force it to
just
really.
Like you want to say something, prove to me you want to say something.
Yeah. I'm not going to give it any help.
I'm not going to aimlessly have my hand there and this through the natural me being tired, my muscles are going to relax and naturally have my hand move. No, I'm going to hold it. You want to say something, move it and see what happens.
All right.
I'm not saying like put my weight on so you can't move. I'm just saying I would.
I picture you like sitting on it. Right. As like other people are trying to move it and
nothing, guys.
I don't know, guys. I'm not convinced.
Say goodbye. That's all.
Yeah. Well, and the scientific explanation for the success, I guess, of Ouija experimentation is that it's not only that your muscles relax and that the hand moves as a natural result of that, but like that there is an active subconscious that is working without you even acknowledging it. And so you think to yourself, I'm not moving it. I'm just putting my hand on it. When in actuality you are moving it, you're just not acknowledging it.
No, I totally dig that. And that makes sense. I also am big on people kind of unconsciously syncing together.
Yeah.
You say, you know, especially people get calm, and their bodies, I think, will naturally sort of get in rhythm with each other.
Yeah.
So that would also naturally have it move in a certain direction if you all are kind of unconsciously moving it in a certain direction.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. What about a seance? Would you ever do a seance?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Again, that I'm so hypercritical of, just because it has been proved, it basically seances have been debunked.
I mean,
they said,
broadly,
here's how they did all this stuff, and here's how all the tricks happened, and here's why they thought this.
Yeah.
So, would I do one? Sure, just for shits and giggles, but I don't see the point.
What if there was no showmanship involved? What if it were just simply conversation-based?
Talk it up a little more. Like what?
Well, okay. This is a good time to talk about the history. This might be the first time we've had two history of segments in a single episode.
Maybe we'll have
episode.
Seven this time. Who knows?
So I guess going back to like the onset of spiritualism, this idea of communicating with the dead, the seance really kind of took off with the component of the medium. So you have like kind of a leader who's a conduit for the conversation, replacing the board. I think in some cases, mediums will sometimes use the spirit board as a tool for guiding the conversation.
All right.
But I think the popular idea of a seance is one in which instead of a group of people using a Ouija board, using a tool to communicate, there is a medium who is either a direct conduit and the entity is possessing or
speaking through
mm-hmm. this medium, or the medium is simply cultivating the right environment and asking the right questions, and the answers are manifesting physically in the environment, either through knocks on the table or the
wind,
temperature or, getting colder,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. And I think that is what ultimately led to seances becoming associated with like parlor tricks,
right?
Because those are easy things to, maybe not easy, but they are ways to affect an experience that has no basis in this spiritual
Correct.
World, right? So you can rig something to knock on a desk at an appropriate time, or you can rig up a room to get colder or whatever.
Right.
And whether there is any legitimacy to the idea of a legitimate functional seance, I think by the mid 20th century, people stopped putting a whole lot of stock in the seance
yeah.
as a result of that, because it was debunked, because a lot of the popular practitioners of that were proved to be
charlatans.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess you could argue that like they were providing a service. The idea was to
entertainment.
Stoke people's emotions, and
yeah.
they did it. Yeah. It was a performance art, you know?
There you go.
But that being said, I think the idea of a seance still kind of lingers in much the same way that a Ouija board does, where you may not consciously believe that it works, but it still seems to have some value, at least from an entertainment perspective.
I guess.
You don't think so?
So you kind of lumped it together with the Ouija board. I think we're talking about like maybe like a 90-10 split.
So you're saying you would put like 90% more stock in a Ouija board than you would in a seance?
100%, yeah. 100%. 100%. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't buy it. Because there's so much of the human element in it, and there's so much that can be acted or fabricated that
I think that would be the more fun thing to watch someone try to prove to you. Like the Ouija board, like you're just resisting the movement of
right.
it.
But then I felt the move, be like, okay, something's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah. But that would not be as satisfying to me as like watching you directly interact with someone. Like, let's say you're in a seance
yep.
and you're talking to somebody you want to talk to, Babe Ruth.
Okay.
And so this medium is possessed by the spirit, allegedly
right.
possessed by the spirit of Babe Ruth. And you are asking this person questions, and like, I want to see how far it has to go before you're convinced that that person is actually
legit.
Not. Yeah. I guess it would have to be somebody that you would know more closely.
Right.
So you could like, the idea that the way of proving it would be that you would have this person, this stranger to you, reciting
right.
yeah, facts that no one outside of your immediate
like
connection
all my grandparents
to this person.
Are dead, so like one of
yeah.
my grandparents, and ask them something that only they could possibly know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they actually came with the right answer, that would be interesting. I'll put it that way.
Okay. What if they started speaking to you in your grandparents' voice?
I would hope to God I was recording it, because that would be amazing. And I probably would get very emotional.
I like imagining that you get very verklempt and you're tearing up, and you're so elated that you got to talk to your deceased grandparent.
Right.
And then we ask you, do you believe that was true? And you're like, no. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Let the Ouija board do the talking for me. Goodbye.
Well, I've never done a seance, but man, I would love to. I think seances are awesome.
Did you bring one with you?
Especially in movies. Yeah, I got one right here.
Yeah, movies, I think it's still very prevalent.
Oh, yeah, it's such a good device
movies,
in a movie.
TV shows.
What's your favorite seance scene?
I tell you what, the one from Penny Dreadful is pretty damn good.
Penny Dreadful. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good. Gosh, would you count? That's more like crystal ball reading, I guess. Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fortune telling or whatever. Ruby. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a seance. That's more, I mean, we'll get into that to, you know, actually like fortune telling and tarot and all that kind of stuff. So let me think of actual seance. I can think of another TV show example. There was a very special episode of Alf. That Alf.
Yes. I thought you were going to say a very special episode of Fantasy Island, which I also, it ranks very highly in my memory.
Sure. No,
Alf, I don't know about the Alf one.
I guarantee you, it's like drill my memory. He says, give me a sign or give us a sign. And the shutters on the kitchen, like, and ultimately, you know, he admits they were like reaching out to somebody's dead parent and he was trying to help him get closure. And it was a very, you know, like, touch like, oh, like Alf was trying to do the right thing but fake the whole thing just so that they could have some closure, essentially.
That was very nice of Alf.
It was very nice of Alf.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to remember some other ones.
Drag Me to Hell. We were talking about that in a recent episode.
That was during horror comedies.
Yeah.
Our very first Awesome Spooky Month episode, if you recall.
I do recall. That is one of my favorite seance scenes of recent note.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Did you ever see The Others?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's seance.
Fantastic seance. Yeah. I think that's a great movie overall.
Should we do a spoiler for The Others?
Let's do a spoiler for The Others. Okay. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really cool how they eventually do a seance to figure out what's going on in this house, and then they ultimately figure out that they were the ghost the whole time, and that's actually the alive people doing a seance trying to figure out what's happening to them.
Yes, yeah. It's an inversion of the seance at the end of the movie.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, you know, I know that movie took a lot of flack because I think it followed The Sixth Sense. It was released maybe a year after The Sixth Sense or something like that. But I think it's a way better movie. It's far creepier and it still holds up. Like I watched The Sixth Sense now and it's just so lame. And
I haven't seen it in years, so.
But The Others I watch every couple of years and
I think it holds up really well.
Every time I think it's just it's beautiful. It's super creepy and there's so much more like subtext there, I think. And you pick up on it every time you watch it. It's a little more revelatory.
Yeah, and even knowing, this is why I think gives it so much strength, even knowing that they are the actual ghosts the whole time, it still plays out wonderfully. I mean, you're still so
you're
riveted.
You're still sort of on that journey with them, even though you know the ending.
You know, exactly. Yeah. You know, like, I know why they're having the problem with the light and all that kind of stuff, but it's
you still feel for them.
Yeah.
It's a really great movie.
Yeah. I feel like there's another movie where they use it and it's like, it's one of those ones where like all of a sudden the Ouija board like goes out of control and it's like, I can't place it. It's like right in the tip of my brain. I'll see if I can come up with it.
Yeah. No, I know there are like, this is a popular trope. Both of these,
yes,
like the
definitely.
Ouija board and the seance are like fantastic, tropes in horror movies. Like said, yeah. And I honestly don't think that they are or can ever be overused. I'm excited every time there's a seance scene. I look forward to seances. You mentioned tarot cards and fortune telling.
Crystal balls.
Yeah, crystal balls. Have you ever had a tarot reading?
I can't remember if it was a palm reading or tarot reading. I think, I really can't remember. Is that like a Renfest years ago? Probably like before I was married, maybe in the last century for all I know, literally last millennia.
Yeah.
It was either palm or it was tarot. I don't remember.
Huh.
And I remember being a very sad sack, single guy at the time. And so I asked about my love life and they went through the whole spiel. And this chick was like, you're going to find love and soon. And like,
you should try making sandwiches on the phone.
Right. I remember leaving there like elated that I was like, oh man, like within 6 months to a year, I'm going to find love.
And she put a timeline on it?
She did. She said soon, like within 6 months to a year. And I can't remember if that was because of the card or because of my love line or my hand or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But no matter which way you slice it, it didn't happen. Like, and I remember thinking to myself,
did you go back?
And, like, no, you're long gone, but I went back and there was awesome like, there was no tarot card reader here. What are you talking about? It's been abandoned for years. What?
But there's a Ouija board there.
Right. Goodbye. Yeah. So again, that fed my skepticism big time. Cause I was like, I left being like, I went in very like, I don't know, like maybe this could mean something. And then left being like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And then when it definitively did not happen, I was like, son of a bitch. That was a waste of $20.
Lies. Maybe it's because I've never paid for an experience, but I've had some amazing tarot readings.
Really?
Yeah. I think the
it had to be tarot because I was thinking to myself, but you said tarot and I immediately got that like my haunches got up and I was like, why did I have that response? And I was like, oh, that's because, it was
terrible. Because that's what it was.
Yeah, and I think it's total BS. Because I've always thought that ever since then. I was like, it's total BS.
Maybe you had like a bad reader. Or maybe it is, like I said, because you paid for it. But the readings that I've always had, again, you know, it just goes back to like having expectations about something. Like,
yeah,
you know,
there you go.
If you were just like sitting around and somebody was like, let me throw out some cards and read you something, you'd probably be more receptive to it.
I was walking by and she said something like, you know, read your fortune or something like that. Mm-hmm.
But you still paid.
And I was at Renfest. Like, oh, sure, what the hell not?
Yeah.
And then she asked me when we went in, she's like, what do you want to know about? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'll ever find love or something, you know, pathetically late teens, early 20s response.
See, I think you're not supposed to tell them if you want a legitimate or an ostensibly legitimate reading, right. You have the question in mind, but you're not supposed to relay it.
Again, this is damn 20 years ago. So yeah. I don't quite remember how it all played out.
Well, I'm just saying this is the problem.
Maybe what it was. Maybe she did the tarot thing. And then when we kind of like finished up, she asked if she could see my hand. I think that's what it was. And then she looked at it.
Oh, she gave you two for the price of one.
She said, oh, you have a really strong love line. That kind of then solidified the eventual BS.
Right.
That love would come my way.
Maybe she just had her. Maybe she was
maybe
going
she
off of
me,
like.
I didn't realize.
Well, you missed your chance. It could have been 6 minutes right. Instead of 6 months.
stupid.
But I've had really great tarot experiences, both personally and like just in the company of people who are getting readings. Uh-huh. Like very eerily prescient things that were.
This is my skeptical face. Go on.
It's not like a very pleasant topic, but I remember. Seeing my ex-wife get a reading and it was like shortly before tensions arose and like the implication of the reading was that she was seeking or holding on to the past, not letting go of the past and not willing to move forward into the future. And like that was ultimately going to be her undoing or, you know, I mean, it was like really severe terminology and stuff. And that experience was, that's just the first one that comes to mind. But, I've seen that happen like 6 or 7 times where people had some really, again, like it's all in what you bring to the experience. I think if you're receptive to it, you're going to get what you consider to be a much more accurate reading out of it.
What if you're receptively skeptical?
I mean, it could go either way.
In your opinion, is that a deal breaker?
No, I think it could go either way.
I'm going to say out loud. It's like, I think I was once bitten, twice shy.
All right. We're going to go right now.
Vampire got me.
I got it with me.
Shoot, yeah, I'm with you.
We should do a live reading. I think that'd be fun. It wouldn't matter to anybody because they couldn't see the cards, but...
you got the...
We could just say what we got, yeah.
Queen of Hearts. Is that the right deck? Oh, yeah. I do this all the time. The Joker, ooh.
That would definitely be your card.
Right. Crystal balls.
Crystal balls. I've never had any experiences with crystal balls or like traditional fortune telling. I guess I've never had anybody read my palm or whatever.
Okay,
but I have had I don't. It wasn't like a palm reading, but it was like a, I guess, an aura reading. I was at a party one time. Again, party, and this guy said that he said this is just a thing that he does. He like reads your presence, and he can like detect things. Or the way he described
it, like waiting for Christmas or your birthday.
I don't know. I guess if you direct it that way,
your presence,
you could. Yeah. You could, or, you know, maybe like a anniversary, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But the way he described it was like, people speak to him, like he hears voices.
Right.
And, so I agreed to.
It's so funny. You're saying this and I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, I did that.
No, as in, yeah, I'm in. Like,
yeah, you're on board with that. Okay. Yeah. I was just sort of up for it. I didn't like put a whole lot of stock in it, but I was inclined. I was
sure.
Like, sure. Yeah. Do whatever you can. And, he said, so there's a group of people, the first tenet that you have to assume with this, he said, is that like, you believe in reincarnation because you have lived before. He told me, he's like, you've been here before. And, you
go on.
But he said it's actually my spirit or entity is part of a group, and I'm the only one here right now. And he said so he's hearing voices, several voices among this group, and they are they're all like waiting for you, like they were all with you in previous incarnations, and none of them are here now. You're the only one who's here now. And he said, there's a dog with them. And, this dog is apparently like really close to you because this dog was actually alive with you and used to protect you. It was the only one from the group who was here. And so it was sort of his duty to stay with you and watch over you. And that really kind of, hit me because when I was a child, my mother's dog, who used to sleep by her side until I was born, then immediately started sleeping under my crib and wouldn't let anybody close to me, including my parents.
He's starving. Let's feed him.
Yeah, my father loved it. He thought it was great. He did not love it.
Right.
Yeah, he hated that dog. But so like when I heard that, I was like, okay, I'm all in. I'm convinced, you know, this totally makes absolute sense.
Did you say anything else or was that it?
Yeah, there was some other stuff. I don't really remember quite as well.
Insert two credits to hear more.
Yeah, it was definitely, there was some theatricality about it. And so I was a little bit skeptical of that, but the way that part of it resonated.
Sure.
And you could argue like, okay, these are common things. Many people have have dogs growing up when they're kids.
Right.
And so that's an easy way to potentially hook people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It worked for me.
Yeah. My whole beef with reincarnation is I don't want to do this again. Like once through this
once
existence,
is plenty. Yeah.
Is more than
why
enough
would
for
anybody
me.
Come back?
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, seriously, why would the crapshoot of just odds where you could end up?
Yeah.
Just higher being out there, just cut me off. I'm done. One and done. No more.
All right. Well, I think that was a pretty good overview of paranormal communication.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear if any creepers have had any experiences
with
Ouija boards or tarot cards or any
other
implement.
So just real quick before we head out, there's not really, I guess, an official way of doing it, but I have a friend who considers herself to be in touch with, this is Reader's Digest version of this, but the spirit world,
okay,
for lack of a better way to say it.
So it's an abridged spirit world.
I would say, again, lack of a better way to phrase it, she considers herself a medium.
Okay.
She doesn't, but that's probably the closest thing I would.
She's a medium without the title.
Sure.
Yeah.
She has experienced some interesting things, and Kelly was with her once. The bar that we had in Maplewood had been haunted. And when Kelly and her and other people owned it, there was a lot of weird stuff that was happening. And so she brought in our mutual friend, and there was even more weird stuff that went down that she experienced, to the point that actually there's a producer in Hollywood, a friend of ours is being talked to, at least at this point, by a producer in Hollywood about filming the situation. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So maybe Kelly will either comment, which we know she won't, or listen to this episode, which we know she won't.
Well, she certainly won't make it this far into
it. No, definitely not. Maybe we can convince her to call in and talk about it or something.
I hope so.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
I
we can bring her up on the spirit board.
I won't be able to give it the credit it deserves by explaining it. I'll half-ass it, but she can explain the whole thing because she experienced it firsthand.
She can whole-ass it?
Yeah.
All right. I look forward to that and whatever else creeps up. And
I guess it's creepers, you can think of some other way to communicate that you...
Yeah, I'd love to hear other ideas about that. Yeah.
Not necessarily also your experiences, but anything we forgot about.
Yeah. Other methods.
Yeah, other mediums.
Yeah. Do it. Well done. Yeah. All right. Put your hand on that.
I got
on
it
that
here.
Plank. All right. You got it?
Yep.
All right. See. It's going, it says...
Going to the H.
Put
and
this in the...
Goodbye? Okay, seriously, this time, like, for reals, we're not messing around. Next week on the archive.
Can somebody tell me what the Sam Hill is going on around here?
Well, we can't, sir.
Who are you?
We're the Monster Squad.